The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Jerusalem. So the Judeans gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Would you please join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you this day for calling our name, for knowing us inside and out. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. We ask you to be with us, not only this day, but forevermore. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a wonderful message for us this morning. We live in a world where lots of voices demand our attention. Sometimes they come to us as at one time, but other times they come all at once. I'll briefly tell you a story. My friend and I went to a new restaurant that was recommended to us. We were excited for the meal, the conversation, and our meeting after a long time. We asked for a table out of the way where we could talk, laugh, and enjoy just being together again. We thought it was perfect. Very few people were in the restaurant at that time, so it was generally quiet and peaceful in that corner. But a strange thing happened. About 30 minutes later, a restaurant filled up with people. And then the noise of the conversation seems to grow intensely, and it echoed the dome-roofed area that we were sitting. First, we were talking to each other, listening to each other very well, and we could hear each other very well. But later, we could not talk, we could raise our voices high. But we could also hear some of the people sitting next to us loud and clear about their conversation too. So it was now competition of the voices to raise up so that people can hear each other in this restaurant. Many voices. My brothers and sisters, this morning there are voices. And they sound very real. It sounds as if these voices are real. and they seek to drown out the clear and the definitive voices of God at work in Jesus Christ. But before I talk much of the shepherd's voice, I again want to tell you the experience as a farm boy. I grew up at my parents' communal farm. And I've been, you know, a cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys herder all my life. And our animals have got names, the same way as you have your pets here with names, you know, Tim, Jack, and so forth. And our animals have got the names. Both sheep and goats, we give them names because we call them to communicate with our animals. And we, even today, we've got a bull by the name Duke. And we've got some other cows, Flossie, Cinnamon. You know, Guy used to go, when he was this young boy, go and head the cattle as well in our rural home. And here's something that I want. I'm not trying to teach you about cattle here. I just want to share the story of being a herder and a shepherd of the sheep. My experience, so that it can resonate with the text that we have this morning. So what happens is, there are now, most of the cattle that are at our home now, they don't know me. But I used to call these animals by name and they'll listen to me. So what happened is I went where, you know, at the kraal where these cattle live, and I tried to call the names, Flossie, none of them would even raise their ear. Like, no, no. And I said, I used to be hitting cattle. When I call the name Cinnamon, it will raise the ears to say, hey, here, I'm here. So what has happened? What has changed? They don't know me anymore. And I had to call my nephew and say, hey, come on here. And this young man came and say, Duke. So there are so many ways to call these animals. When you want to call them to get out of the crow or the pen, there's a certain way that you call them. And when you want to call them to go to the river to get some water, there's another way that you call these animals. So this young man is so good in calling the names, and they obey and they listen to him. So I would raise the afar in the fields and say, Duke. And Duke is the bull that when it turns, everybody, every cattle will follow him to the river. They obey him and they know his voice. And I used to do this, the same, calling these names. But if anybody would go to them and try to name, even call the names, they will not listen because it's not their honor. It's not. They don't even listen to them. So, but one of the things that I've learned over the years, when Jesus says he is a good shepherd and we are his sheep, listening to his voice, I know now that he truly has to have an extraordinary love and care for us, the way I used to do and care for my father's animals. But one of the things I've learned and experienced as a cattle herder is that my animals feel safe when I am with them. And instinctively, they are able to separate the true shepherd from the false one. And one cannot do what I can do to or with my animals. So what does this mean? Safety is essential. And on many levels, professional, personal, spiritual as well. Safety is very important. With whom do you feel safe? Literally safe, and safe with your truth, who you are, who you want to be, safe with your concerns and your grief and your sorrow, your aspirations and your hopes and your accomplishments, safe with your fears, your body and your mind, safe with your thoughts and your concerns and your needs. But also safe from grief,
that could overwhelm our hope, anguish that could also crush the spirit, and loneliness that might isolate the soul. So the scripture this morning is about relationship. Relationships are only built when we hear one another. You know, sometimes you will be talking and say, are you listening to me? You know, it's when we listen, when we talk to each other and listen to each other, we create, we build relationships. And it is about knowing and being known. You know, even as a spouse, you need to know each other so that you create and build the relationship. It's about the mutual recognition, as speaking of names, and personal responsiveness and shared understanding. I used to have my aunt who died several years ago. This is something which is quite different from the Western culture. So when you greet somebody, you don't just say, good morning. No. If you go, my auntie will say, good morning. And in our language, good morning is mamuka se. So if you say, mamuka se, and my auntie will stand, and rather she will slap you. Until you say, good morning, auntie. Mamuka se te te. Good morning, auntie. And then she'll say, oh, now. So it's about calling the name. If you don't call your name, you sound distant. So my aunt will say, if you say some good morning, it's like you're just greeting somebody who is passing by. But if you say auntie, it resonates. You are identifying me with her. You are my auntie and you are my nephew. There is that identity because you create a relationship by calling the name. So when I call the name of my animal Duke, it understands me. It respects me. Because I know it by name. So the religious leaders here, the religious authorities questioning Jesus in our text, questioning Jesus are completely opposite of the reality. They demand that he tell them who he is when he has already told them at length who he is and who he was. And here's the thing, seeing and yet blind, hearing but yet not understanding. Jesus has been teaching, Jesus has been doing all sorts of things. They witnessed it, but they could not believe. Jesus has clearly made a statement. He had just told them he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. He is one with God. He is the shepherd of the flock. And the flock is those who hear his voice and follow him. Again, it is about a relationship. He knows them. He knows each one of them. He knows us best and he loves us most. The relationship is about love. God's love for us and our love for him. Are you willing to follow Christ, my dear friends, no matter where that takes? Are you ready to feed the sheep and tend his lambs? Are you ready to think of yourself last instead of first? Relationships, relationships. Are you ready to give all you have and all you are and all you will ever to be the Lord who gave his life for you? But again, this question, how long will you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah? Or shall we wait for the other, the rescuing and the promised Messiah? But this morning, the voice of Christ is once again loud and clear, and the religious leaders cannot understand his voice. But again, we must remember that this text just comes after chapter 9. When Jesus has healed a man born blind. And when Jesus began to teach about the good shepherd, it was in response to the questions raised after Jesus healed the man born blind. And in turn, led Jesus to talk about his identity as the good shepherd. But again, we see the religious leaders were looking for the other kind of a Messiah who will free them from the invader. Freedom to live without fear and foreign domination. This is what they were looking. But let me pose this question this morning. Are we looking for Jesus who will fulfill our wants, our necessities, our dreams, and our expectations of the good life? What kind of the Messiah are we looking for? But the problem is, we hear the message, but we are unwilling to respond. And we want to see something, but we cannot still discern it inwardly in our hearts. And from that, and to what has Jesus, the Good Shepherd, called you? He made you his own by rescuing you from the temptation to go to the greenest pastures. He has become the hope when there was no hope. Freedom when the burdens has crushed us. He has become the peace from turmoil within and without. That voice of the one who has called you to trust him is the one of the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for you and for me and for all on the cross. He gave us his life so that you and I could have it. Then he rose from the dead to tell us what he said was true. His words, his promises, his love for us and for all people, his acceptance of people of every kind. He's leading us and giving us eternal life, never ending, living with him. All is true. What a voice to hear and what a voice to follow. This word, my dear friends, the God will not abandon us, that Jesus will hold on to us through all things, that God will never, ever let us go. He will never, ever let us down. You are afraid of your safety. You are victimized. You are a college student who wonders whether there will be any jobs after graduation. You are fearful of being stopped by the police because of the skin color. You are afraid of losing your career. You are mired with grief at the loss of your beloved one. When life conspires, makes us feel unsafe and unworth. But I want to proclaim in the face of these harsh realities, the even greater reality of God's undying, unconditional, and unyielding love. My dear friends, no one, and I want to repeat again, no one will snatch you out of God's hand. The shepherd from whose hand you could never be snatched. Not by those who crucify, not by those who can bring grief and despair. No one, even death itself, no one can take us from the hands of God. No matter how crazy or difficult or stressful and scary our lives can be, nevertheless, God chooses you. God loves you. God accompanies you, and he will hold on to you through all your life, even through death into the new life God offers us, and even eternally. Once again, when God arrives on the scene to elect us into abundant life, the shepherd sees to it that our needs are fulfilled. There is no safety when your basic sense of what you need from life, including being safe, is not met. The shepherd is totally committed to the well-being of the sheep. Who is committed to the well-being of you? Just you. Anyone else? No. It's only the Good Shepherd who knows his sheep intimately. The empty tomb is the promise of protection, my dear friends. Not from the truth of life, but for the sake of the truth of your life. And Jesus speaks to us as the shepherd. And the shepherd hears the voice of his sheep, our voice. And I want to tell you something this morning. When you raise your voice in prayer, God hears you because you are his sheep. When you lament because of the loss of your beloved one, God hears your cry. So it is a voice of promise. It is a voice of the promises, even to give this stubborn and extravagant protection and care. It is the voice the flock hears and knows and follows. It is the voice in which is especially precious in times of struggle and despair and pain. And it is one which sometimes have to work harder to hear. Because sometimes there are many voices that we hear. And these voices try to drown us. Sometimes we work hard to hear his voice. And yet, even when those voices are overwhelming us, and yes, when we don't pause to listen, it is always there, inviting and comforting and edging us on. My dear friends, whether it is the valley of the shadows of death, whether it is the enemy who wants to feast on the sheep, whether it is the personal straying or wandering from the flock of the great shepherd of the sheep, you and I shall not ever be in want. The voice we are listening for is not our own, or our culture, or even of the church. We are listening to the singular voice of God and Christ, who are one in purpose and united by the act of love and obedience in deep in the heart of our God and our Lord and Savior. Amen.